Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
And with us, a member of the World Health Organization Advisory Group on Mass Gatherings from Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty. How are you today, Dr. Marty?
Oh, another sleepless night.
Yeah, I know you're busy with all these variants and mutants. And are states like Illinois easing restrictions too soon, do you think, with all of this going on?
Lots of states are looking at easing restrictions. We're all very excited about the fact that the effective reproductive number for this pandemic, SARS-CoV-2, is down below one, which is why cases are dropping. And so there's an indication that there's less transmission happening, which could, if it kept up, lead to a real serious reduction in the pandemic. But as you ask, are we doing it too soon? The answer is yes. We're a little bit too eager to get back to normal, and we have this tendency not to be patient enough to wait until we really have this well capped before we get back to normal. And it's all a matter of timing, how well we can get people vaccinated quickly throughout the country, and the counterforce of these variants developing that can overcome if they have certain types of mutations in certain variants, like the EEK mutation, the E484, that could overcome some of the immunity that people have developed. So it's a race between us and the virus.
It sounds like the vaccines, from what I've heard, are effective against the UK virus. But what about this other mutant, the Brazil mutant or whatever it is? Is this going to result in us having to get an additional shot?
It may, Bob. I mean, the truth is that you're absolutely correct that both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, which are the two that have the EUAs right now, are effective against the original UK variant. There was a little bit of bad news on the 1st of February from the UK, where they found some versions of of an additional mutation to the UK variant that has been found in South African variant and happened independently in the Brazil variant, which is this EEK mutation that allows for some of those antibodies that people have developed from either to the vaccine or to the wild virus to not function as properly as we would like. Still, it's not as horrible as it sounds, because these vaccines are still effective at keeping us from being hospitalized and dying, which is the worst thing, obviously. And so they're still effective. They're just not necessarily effective at that 95% of no symptoms, which they were before the variant.
If you have had the virus, if you've had COVID, how long do you have to wait before getting vaccinated?
So we usually say 90 days, but the reality is it's very variable, and we are going ahead and revaccinating people who have one dose of the vaccine and then come down with COVID in between the first shot and the second shot, if they have resolved their symptoms completely and at least 10 days have passed since they were positive, mostly because we really want to get the highest level of protection. By the way, Bob, you know that there's going to be big meetings next week about the J&J vaccine to see if that can win an EUA in the United States.
That's the Johnson & Johnson requiring only one dose, and it doesn't have to be stored in a freezer?
That is the Johnson & Johnson that they have marketed as only requiring one dose and that can be stored in a normal freezer. So it has several advantages. I frankly believe that if you were to give two doses appropriately spaced, you would have even better efficacy from the J&J vaccine, and that eventually we should go to that mode. But with one dose, they get to the level of efficacy that was originally thought to be what we wanted, which was, you know, in the 60s range of efficacy. It's, again, for a population health perspective, that's good enough. But from the perspective of an individual person who'd rather not get any symptoms whatsoever, a second dose would actually be more valuable.
But you've said in the past that whatever vaccine you can get it. So if we have Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson all out there at the same time, we shouldn't be picky and choosy about which one we get, right?
Right. I mean, you know, if you have a choice, right, you're going to pick the vaccine that's going to give you the best possible protection. However, if you are offered a vaccine that's going to keep you out of the hospital and from dying, it might not get you to that 95% protection. But yes, definitely take it, because it's certainly better than not having a vaccine.
This question came from a listener. Is there any merit to the advice of taking in more water during the days before getting the second dose to help reduce the strong reactions many report? Anything we should do to prepare for the vaccine?
So being well hydrated, not excessive water, but being well hydrated is absolutely helpful before, during, and after the vaccine. And it will reduce some of the types of, like, the headaches that people get will be reduced if you're properly hydrated. Again, you don't want to excessively hydrate either. You want to have, you know, we have to find that Goldilocks area of just right.
I like that, the Goldilocks area. Is that a scientific term?
Believe it or not, it is.
Is it really?
We actually use it in, we use it in science all the time. We use it in physics. We use it in medicine.
We use it in
plant biology. Yeah, sure.
If you've had a very mild case of the virus or you're asymptomatic completely, what are the chances of any long-term complications?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows exactly, because mild cases have developed prolonged COVID symptoms, and we're still trying to measure out the percentages. Remember, we don't capture every case because not everybody presents for testing, and we may not even realize, some people may not even realize that some of their fatigue and other milder symptoms that are still annoying and distressing to them are because they had COVID-19. So that's something we're still working out. We do know, however, that prolonged COVID symptoms may last for a very long time in some individuals. When studies were done from the first SARS outbreak and looking for prolonged symptoms in those individuals, somewhere between 30 and 40% still had symptoms 3.5 years out.
Wow. Yeah, we've heard about that brain fog, which here around Chicago we have this morning because of all the problems yesterday with our cars and the snow and the cold. Hopefully it's not because of COVID. Dr. Marty, yeah. I think next week when we get together on Wednesday morning at this time, I'm going to introduce you, instead of just saying Florida International University professor and infectious disease specialist, I'm going to read the rest of your resume. And unfortunately, if
you won't
I do
have time for a conversation,
no, I don't think we will. Well, maybe we'll do two segments. And anyway, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Dr. Marty. Have a good day.
Thanks, Bob. Take care. Bye bye.
I'm looking at, it's ridiculous, World Health Organization Advisory Group on Mass Gatherings, Risk Assessments, Command and Control, member of the board of the International Federation for Tropical Medicine, director FIU Health Travel Medicine Program and Vaccine Clinic Commander, laboratory director and clinical consultant. I mean, this is... You know, this is crazy. But she knows what she's talking about, and we're lucky to get to talk to her here.